Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tymi Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic, pornography age verification laws.
Yeah, you're going to have to verify your age before listening to this episode.
Must be 18 or older. Yes. Hello, and thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Tymi.
Ben, how do you stop kids from watching porn?
First of all, we have to stop making porno films with such creatively punny titles. I'm going to keep this tame, I promise.
PG.
Yeah, but no more
okay.
Rear and Pleasant Danger.
Oh my gosh.
No more Position Impossible.
Oh,
so
no.
So we've got to stop with these clever punny names.
So don't tempt the children with these titles.
Right.
Okay.
In side tangent here, I was in the grocery store several years ago in the checkout line.
Yeah.
And there was this kind of older, creepy guy in line. And I don't know how this conversation got brought up, but he was like telling like the checkout lady of these funny porno title names.
Who does that?
Yeah, it seemed really a little icky, a little gross.
Yeah, I mean, who brings that up in like casual conversation?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you know there's this porno called blah, blah, blah?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But seriously, don't get them phones.
Yeah.
Or internet access.
Yes.
Especially unsupervised.
Right.
Young kids. True story.
Okay. Here's where you disclose something personal.
I got busted as a teen.
Oh no.
Looking at pornography.
On the computer?
Yeah. I had my own computer. So like I had a job boarding dogs and stuff. So I had, this was like, So I had like a desktop computer with like the, you know, back then the monitors were like huge and like 3 feet deep.
Yeah.
So my mom made me move my computer to the living room.
So you would have monitored computer time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I imagine you're not the only millennial child who was caught doing that and had to move their computer to a shared living area.
Well, I don't know about moving the computer, but, you know, like I'm sure every, whether they got caught or not, almost every teen, especially young boy with internet access did that.
In the old days, like in thinking about, you know, how to stop getting kids to watch porn, in the old days, pornographic magazines and videos were kept out of reach at bookstores or in a separate age-restricted area of the video store.
Yeah, I remember like Easy Rider magazine. It was like a motorcycle magazine, but sometimes they would have pictures of topless women in there.
Yes.
And sometimes I would find those on the store in the grocery store shelf. So like, you know, it wasn't like Playboy or something. So it wasn't on the like covered, and sometimes I could sneak away and look at the Easy Rider magazine while my mom was doing our shopping in Foodland IGA in Pound, Virginia.
We had a book rack, and all of those magazines were behind the like cashier counter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then of course in convenience stores they were behind
the counter. None of the stores back home had the covered magazines.
Oh really?
Yeah, no.
So well, that doesn't surprise me in Pound.
You had to go to like the Tri-Cities to like a big bookstore or something.
Yeah, that makes
sense. But I did work at a video store when I was in college for a while. And we had a quote unquote adult room, a porn room. And it was mostly VHS at the time. And I don't know if you've ever seen these, but like the VHS boxes for porns are like four times the size of a, it looks like this, like the office size, business size envelope. They were, they were huge. And so I had some regular customers that would come in and.
Did you have to watch them?
No, I never had to watch them.
You didn't have to monitor them in there?
No, no. So you know, obviously they would check them out and I would hand in the films and then I'd have to like check them back in and go like restock the shelves. But I never actually had to watch.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Watch the movies. But there was this one guy who was a regular, you know, his whole family was a regular customer, but sometimes he would come without the fam.
Yeah.
To do his adult browsing. And, and one day he was like checking out his adult film.
Oh,
and,
no.
Like, the way the counter was set up, like I could see out the door and his back was to the door.
Yeah.
So his like wife and daughter apparently were driving by and saw his car. So they like,
oh, there's dad.
Yeah. They pulled in and I saw them getting out of the car and coming in. So I like grabbed the tape and like slipped it underneath
oh,
the counter.
Oh, that was kind of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then they came in and they picked out a family film to enjoy together. And he thanked me later on, like, I really appreciate you saving my.
Yeah.
So.
That was a good Samaritan. That's you. Well, we're not talking about VHS today, even though my mom still has VHS cassettes and a VHS player. We're actually focusing on online pornography, which includes pics and videos viewed on websites, social media, or anywhere else on the internet that show nudity and sexual acts intended to entertain and sexually arouse the viewer. So pornography often features explicit pictures of body parts, such as the genitals, and sexual acts, including oral sex, masturbation, anal sex, etc.
Well, you left out some things. I mean, you left out vaginal sex.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, okay. Shows that too.
Water sports.
Oh my gosh.
MILFs and DILFs.
Yeah.
Furries.
Yeah. Are we going to explain what furries are to our listeners? I mean, this is an 18 and up. Did we talk about that in the paraphilia?
We mentioned it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No
okay.
need to explain it.
Yeah.
Just,
no need.
Yeah. Just use the Google machine and find out for your own
use
self.
Use the Googles.
If you're brave enough.
So this is primarily about Pornhub, which is one of the biggest providers of online pornography in the world. In 2019, the site was visited 42 billion times.
Holy moly.
Or 115 million times each day.
That's a lot. That's a lot of visits. That's a lot of views.
And
Pornhub does like a Spotify Wrapped every year. I thought I would look this up for 2023.
Great,
and
share.
So I tried to like do this on my phone, but the link was dead. So this is
blocked.
Yeah, wonder why that could be. We'll find out soon.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, I found some other articles talking, you know, like providing the list. Okay. So number one search category in 2023 was lesbian.
Okay.
Number two, Japanese.
Okay.
Number three, ebony. Four, anal.
Okay.
Five, MILF.
Okay.
And six trans. And also of noteworthy of note in 2023, mature and BBW, big beautiful women, saw big jumps in popularity in 2023.
Well, I guess that's nice.
Good news for people of all different types of
lots of diversity in these choices, I guess. I'm not sure our listeners needed to know the top categories, but there you go.
Yeah, now since you
if you're in Virginia, you can't access it. Okay, so legislators have tried since 2020, which is the first year of the pandemic, to get age verification laws for pornography, but were not successful until 2022, thanks to Billie Eilish. Is it Eilish or Eilish? We're going to have to ask Charlotte. First one, Eilish. Eilish, okay. You know how you're listening to a podcast and they mess up like a really popular name that everybody knows? I just did that. Yep. Okay, Billie Eilish. Yes. Okay. We have to ask the student. Yes. Okay.
I mean, I don't know much about her.
What do you know about her?
I saw her on Saturday Night Live. Once. She was on like the Christmas episode this year. And both songs that she sang were just like super slow and like dragged out and low energy. So
yes, she is very low energy.
I didn't.
Like you just didn't think about her after that.
Like it wasn't bad, but it just wasn't, you know, it was just like very low. She sang the song "What Was I Made For,"
right?
And that one is like particularly slow.
Yeah,
and apparently it was on the Barbie movie. I haven't seen the Barbie movie yet.
Yes.
It's on my list of things to do.
I liked it,
but you know, like the idea, you know, once I kind of like paid attention to the lyrics, it is kind of cool. It's kind of like a sad lament about belonging and feeling misunderstood. So
yes.
But it's, and then
she's
sang
very
like a
popular
Christmas song.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was like,
she's
super
won
drag
lots
soundtrack.
Of awards, Grammys, you know. Yeah. She's very popular.
Yeah.
But we're old, so we don't listen to her.
Well, hey, we've got a current pop culture reference finally, not
finally.
Yeah.
Yes. So in 2021, Louisiana Republican Representative Lori Schlegel, a professional sex addiction therapist, saw an article about pop star Billie Eilish's appearance on the Howard Stern Show, where she discussed her porn addiction. How about you read what she told Howard Stern in a very slow voice?
Oh, if I knew this, I would have
I didn't want you to prepare.
Brushed up on my
what
do you call it? Impersonation.
Okay.
I used to watch a lot of porn, to be honest. I started watching porn when I was like 11. I think it really destroyed my brain. And I feel incredibly devastated that I was exposed to so much porn.
Thank you.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, that's my attempt at impersonating someone I've never even heard.
Right. Okay.
Talk.
Well, I have heard some of her songs and I like them. But
well, I mean, I've heard her sing, yeah, but I don't know what she talks like.
Mm-hmm. The point is that this really affected Representative Schlegel.
Mm-hmm.
And she teamed up with Gail Dines, who is a self-described radical feminist, sociologist, and anti-porn crusader from Manchester, England.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though they come from different ends of the political spectrum, they bonded over their opposition to pornography and agreed that it causes harm.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, we can at least come together to stop kids from watching porn online.
Absolutely. So Louisiana became the first state to introduce and pass a law requiring websites that host adult content to verify that users are over 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, 2023, six more states, including our own Virginia, passed similar laws in some states, directly copying the language used in the Louisiana bill. So I should have mentioned at the outset that mm-hmm. this was a listener requested episode mm-hmm. from Patrick Clark.
Oh, yeah.
So yes. Thank you, Patrick, mm-hmm. because he actually just brought this up to me last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know that the access to Pornhub was blocked mm-hmm. in Virginia.
Yep.
And I just wasn't paying attention to this. It just mm-hmm. wasn't on my radar. But all of this has happened in the last couple of mm-hmm. years. So it is kind of important to cover because it's a trend.
Yeah. And great suggestion.
Like, yeah, thanks. Great suggestion. Yeah, thanks for this. Thank you, Patrick. The definition from that Louisiana mm-hmm. law comes from actually a 1973 Supreme Court decision, which defines material harmful to minors as any material that the average person applying contemporary community standards would find, taking the material as a whole and with respect to minors, is designed to appeal to or is designed to pander to the prurient interest. Mm. Yeah.
Prurient, you know.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. that word appears a lot. So further, the material in question must lack serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value for minors.
Mm-hmm. Who I should have looked this case up, but
yeah.
The Supreme Court case about porn.
Yes.
The justice famous quote is like, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
Exactly. Like, that's the most famous. Mm-hmm. And then when you ask people what pornography is, they mm-hmm. they say that, and that's where it comes mm-hmm. from. But, you know, yeah, we have a definition for pornography. It's used sure. in this law. So the Virginia bill was passed with nearly universal support. So I think it's important to keep in mind that these laws are widely supported across both, you know, across mm-hmm. the aisle by Republicans and Democrats. Mm-hmm. It's usually the rare politician that dares to oppose these,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So the bill prohibits descriptions, animations, or depictions of specific body parts and sexual activities. The list includes, this is the Virginia law,
mm-hmm.
pubic hair, the nipple of the female breast, and sexual flagellation.
Flagellation, what does that mean?
You tell me.
Oh, well, I did look this up.
You did.
In terms of, you know, like the word origin.
Yes.
It's like whipping or spanking.
Yes.
Actually, it's from the Latin for scourging.
Yeah.
So sexual flagellation is like, spank me, daddy.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to the Virginia law.
Well, flagella, what is that? Whip?
Yeah, so it's actually used in biological terminology also. So like flagella, flagellum, they're the like the little microorganisms have the little like whip-like structures that flap back and forth that help them with locomotion.
Yeah,
do
they're very
the
cute.
Locomotion with your flagella.
My question was why mm-hmm. the Virginia representative who proposed this bill chose these three things.
Yeah, so I thought you were just pulling out examples, but these are the three that are like pubic hair, female nipples, and spanking.
That might not mm-hmm. have been the whole list, but you know, those really stuck out to me.
Maybe it's some kind of like Freudian, like these are the things that, you know.
Yeah, okay, anyway. The laws also empower civilians to sue website owners for damages if a minor is exposed to objectionable material through their platform.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so like the porn companies don't care.
Yeah.
You know, as long as they're making money. But this is why Pornhub closed down, because they were afraid that they could get sued if a kid, you know, parent caught their kid watching Pornhub. So like, we're not going to get sued. So how does that work? So, you know, Pornhub is shut down in Virginia.
Right.
But in Louisiana, it's still going. But
yes.
you have to verify your age online. How do you do that?
Yeah. So the law requires age verification for any website that contains 33.3% or more
precisely
pornographic material. The law says age verification must be performed by checking government-issued identification or using an analogous high-accuracy method. Mm-hmm. But there's really no way to measure 33%, though, but porn websites, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Pornhub, all porn, all the time.
Yes.
But let's just say, like, Easy Rider magazine would not qualify.
I think it would fall.
Definitely below 33%.
Yeah, it was mostly motorcycles, few breasts, right?
Yep, like, more motorcycles, less breasts.
Yes. Louisiana residents have already had, since 2018, a third-party application that actually allows you to store a digital copy of your driver's license, which functionally for the state is equivalent to an ID card. So the state's mandate for age verification easily integrated with LA Wallet, which is what they use. Mm-hmm. But many states passing these copycat laws don't actually have that technical infrastructure in place.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds cool. Like, I could see how that could be an electronic wallet.
Yes.
I guess. Not just to watch porn, but like for all kinds of.
Yeah, when I was things. Like mm-hmm. reading about this, I realized that I took a picture of mm-hmm. my driver's license ID so I could use the Virginia application mm-hmm. lottery app.
Oh yeah!
But I was like,
play the lottery?
Did it use a third party app to have me verify my driver's license? Mm-hmm. Because I play the VA lottery app for mm-hmm. fun, you know, just like you play Candy Crush. Yeah. Probably not. So, mm-hmm. I mean, but my information's already on the dark web, so it can't get any worse.
I just had to re-verify my teacher status for my Verizon discount. So,
Yeah,
there are things that this could plan the lottery, getting a discount on your phone service.
Yeah. Sure. So Pornhub has simply blocked access to its site in the other 8 states where age verification laws are in effect, citing privacy concerns.
Right.
So what happens is if you try to go on the website, site visitors are greeted by a video featuring Cherie DeVille, who's a porn star.
Fully clothed,
who explains why Pornhub decided to block them from accessing its content. She also explains Pornhub's solution, which is a device-based verification system, which only requires the device to be verified once rather than each time the user visits a site.
Yeah, so this is the reason I mentioned earlier that I couldn't pull up the list of Pornhub categories.
Right.
And I actually watched a documentary on Pornhub, and there are a number of controversial problems historically with Pornhub.
Oh.
So Pornhub is, if you're not familiar, it's kind of like a user uploaded. So like different.
Yeah, like YouTube. It's porn YouTube.
It's porn YouTube. So, you know, there were a lot of criticisms that, you know, Pornhub was not like vetting.
Yes.
Like users just uncontrollably posting videos.
Right.
So lots of like underage videos, child porn videos were being posted, and not being taken down, and lots of like revenge porn non-consensual videos being posted online, and then like you know people would complain like, this is me and I want this taken down,
right?
And then like another user who had like downloaded the video would then just post. So Pornhub's had a lot of problems historically, and now this, but you know, at least they're complying with it.
Did they do an age verification on uploading videos as a content creator? I thought I read something about where they had that in place. So if you were a content creator, you did have to upload like age verification, but only for the upload.
I don't remember that in the documentary.
Yeah. Okay.
Initially it wasn't. Yeah, so at some point, kind of like Twitter, they did the verification, like verified profiles, but unverified profiles can still.
Yeah.
Like upload videos too, so.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like whack-a-mole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, all this is to protect kids from porn, and, you know, clearly that's a justice issue. We don't want kids accessing porn.
Right.
But why not? So what do we know about the impact of porn use on kids and teens?
Yeah, so much of what I'm going to talk about right now is just kind of a snapshot of what we know about teenagers and online pornography. And this part is specifically for the U.S., just to clarify. So a survey of more than 1,300 minors aged 10 to 17 in the U.S., were surveyed last year by Common Sense Media, which is a nonprofit child advocacy organization. And they found that the majority reported seeing online pornography before the age of 13. So what's mm-hmm. interesting is about what was happening during school, which is that 41% of these kids mm-hmm. reported that they saw this pornography during the school day, and 31% of those were during the school day in person.
Oh my gosh.
Because the question was, is this just like a pandemic mm-hmm. thing, right? When mm-hmm. when people were home, when students were home, kids were home, teenagers yeah. were home, they were on their own computers during the school day remotely. Mm-hmm. So of course they could access pornography. Mm-hmm. But among teens who reported that they had viewed pornography during the school day, nearly half said they did so on school-owned devices. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
well, which, I yeah. mean, depending on what they said in the article, that could be.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, my nieces and nephews, obviously we don't have kids in school, but they right. have, like, Chromebooks. Like, yes. the school issues them, like, either, yeah. You know, laptops or
Chromebooks.
Or, yeah, yeah, Chromebooks that they can take home.
Sure. So. Yeah. So some of this, so many of this sample mm-hmm. had actually seen pornography, but some of it was unintentional. So yeah. they stated, truthfully or not, mm-hmm. that they accidentally came across the pornography.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in high school, like whitehouse.com versus whitehouse.gov.
Oh.
Like whitehouse.com was a porn site.
Was it?
Yeah.
So, I did not know mm-hmm, that. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. That's an accidental.
Yeah. Lots of kids and parents would be trying to do like school homework and type in whitehouse.com and end up at a porn website.
Okay. Well, that was pretty smart on the part of those people mm-hmm. advertising their pornography. So there's some other interesting stats here. Rates of intentional pornography consumption were also higher among respondents who identified as LGBTQ+. Mm-hmm. This was like 66%, including transgender and non-binary respondents. And so the thought here is that, you know, they are viewing pornography for different reasons. Mm-hmm. It's part of their larger exploration of their, you know, sexual and gender identity and finding out what arouses them and excites mm-hmm. them. Than it is for other teens.
Yeah, particularly if you are, you know, like alone or isolated, that might be the only place that you could go to find.
Right. Yeah.
Connection or information.
Right. Absolutely. So the other issue is that of these teens who did see pornography, 52% of them, or over half, reported having seen pornography depicting what appears to be rape, choking, or someone in pain. So that was an issue, as well as many teens of color across different racial and ethnic groups experienced negative feelings because of racial stereotypes present in the pornography. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a snapshot. But like moving on to the research about the effects or the impact, there's actually no conclusive evidence of the effects of pornography on teenagers, but there are some studies that suggest watching porn can affect aggression levels, anxiety, and depression. There are a couple of in particular that I'm going to talk about. A 2018 study showed that pornography exposure led to decreased self-esteem and negatively impacted symptoms of anxiety and depression, specifically in the teenage girl sample. A 2021 study found an association between pornography exposure in teen males and aggressive and rule-breaking behavior. And there are also concerns about the normalization of sexual violence in online pornography and the role that this plays in shaping children's understanding of sex and relationships.
Yeah, I think we talked about pornography and violence. Pornography before and how it was associated with like sexual assault, maybe even played a role. I think we might have talked about that in our serial killer episode.
Yeah. Yes.
I found a meta-analysis that was conducted in 2022 about porn consumption. In it, across studies found that, you know, porn consumption was associated with higher risky sexual behavior. So the more porn you watch, the earlier you're involved in sex, less likely to use contraceptive, greater number of sexual partners, risky sexual behavior. Increased levels of dating violence. And, you know, when it talked about this, it wasn't so much like physical assault, but like unwanted exposure to pornography in dating relationship or pressuring a partner to do unwanted sex acts or to reproduce things that they saw in porn.
Right, right.
Also related to like sexual functioning, sexual health, and mental health.
Yes.
So like increased sexual anxiety, lower levels of sexual satisfaction and fulfillment. The more you watch porn, the less you're satisfied with sex in real life.
Right.
Greater need for higher arousal. So we kind of talked about that with like serial killers. Like it takes more and more and more to get you aroused.
Yes.
It also presents an unrealistic picture.
Correct.
Of sex. So,
yes.
You know, teens, particularly we're talking about like gay and trans teens, mm-hmm. may use it as kind of like a script or a guide to learn how to do things.
Right.
And, you know, that can obviously be unrealistic. That's not what sex is like in real yeah. life compared to what you see in porn.
Yes.
And it can create unrealistic body standards for men and women.
Yes.
And, you know, there's also the notion of, you know, porn addiction. You mentioned like
right,
anxiety
right.
and frustration. And, you know, people who have porn addiction are, you know, we talked about this with like the paraphilias, that it interferes right. with functioning. So, like,
yes.
maybe you watch a lot of porn, but you have a problem when, you know, you get frustrated and irritable if you have to go long periods of time without it, or it like
yeah.
interferes with your work schedule. You might like call in sick to stay
right.
home and watch porn or.
Yeah.
Interfere with daily routine. So lots of potential harms of porn, especially for, you know, younger folks. So laws trying to stop kids, minors, from accessing porn is
right.
Good thing. We don't want kids to access.
Yeah, and a lot of the research is on adults. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, we know that there's a connection between violent pornography and acceptance mm-hmm. of rape myths. But, mm-hmm. again, those are usually on college-aged student
yeah.
samples.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from the serial killer episode, violent pornography works as a fantasy element. It's a part of the process. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but most of this research is on adults. But we can,
yeah.
you know,
yeah, right.
obviously
yeah. so
we can generalize
things
that,
yeah,
that.
Those things that I just talked about was, you know, like a meta-analysis of
sure.
studies, I'm sure, on,
yeah.
on adults. But,
yeah,
I mean, if it's having impacts on adults, you know. You know like,
yes.
It, with anything, you know, drugs, pornography, whatever, the younger you are exposed to it, the more of an impact it has on,
right.
on you.
Okay, so what do you suspect are some arguments against or concerns with these laws?
Privacy, obviously. Yeah. If you're like
yes.
a porn consumer, yeah. you've got your driver's license attached to all of the porn
yes.
websites you've watched and viewed. And
I'd love to get that data,
yeah.
like track people's porn usage.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So the electronic...
For academic purposes, purely.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation has pushed back against age verification mandates, criticizing the laws as basically surveillance systems, and that they pose privacy issues to anyone who uses them. Also, groups have raised First Amendment concerns, and the legal challenges involve free speech protections.
Mm-hmm.
The pornography industry has been notoriously difficult to
oh,
regulate,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and these laws have widespread bipartisan support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, like sexual dysfunction, like I mentioned earlier, porn use may not be so great for healthy sexual relationships in the real
yes.
world.
Yes, absolutely. So we should have mentioned this earlier, but we'll just put this in now. Sexual dysfunction is one of the concerns here about obsessive use of pornography, because the evidence that internet pornography's unique properties, which are things like limitless novelty
mm-hmm.
Potential for easy escalation to more extreme material, mm-hmm. the video format, etc., that these are potent enough to condition
yeah.
sexual arousal to aspects of internet pornography use that do not readily transition to real life partners.
Mm-hmm.
So sex with desired partners may not register as meeting expectations and arousal declines. Mm. So that was part of the research as well.
Yeah. Well, now that you are mentioning declining arousal, I guess I guess we better wrap it up.
Yes.
Ha ha. Yeah, anyway.
I just got that. Okay.
Good advice.
Yes.
Not just about our wrapping up our episode, but wrap it up in general. Good. You know, talk about unrealistic lessons from porn. Don't try
yeah.
to reaper, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
No
yeah.
glove, no love. So anyway.
Gotcha.
You know, back to wrapping it up so that our listeners' arousal doesn't decline too low. That means that it's our minute to spin it, where we both give our takeaway from today's episode. So Tommy, what's your spin in just a minute?
Mine today is just like a normal spin summary.
Mm-hmm.
So after Pornhub blocked access in Virginia, the search for VPNs or virtual private networks went up in the state because it's an easy workaround.
Oh, really? Didn't know that.
Yes.
Taking notes.
VPN. That's what Louisiana found mm-hmm. out anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like there are easy workarounds that anybody who's technologically
mm-hmm.
literate can, you know, figure out
okay.
very quickly. That being said, mm-hmm. pornography use has decreased, but for the simple fact that access mm-hmm. is blocked and people are unwilling to validate with an ID for
yeah.
privacy
mm-hmm.
concerns. So since most of these laws were passed last year
mm-hmm.
and more are coming up this year, we'll have to wait and see whether any of these free speech challenges are upheld by the courts.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, what's yeah, your spin?
Well, so age verification laws leave porn studios in the same position that BDSM porn stars are in.
Which is
strap for cash. So privacy and free speech concerns notwithstanding, it's certainly worthwhile, as we said, you know, figuring out how we can keep kids from watching porn online, especially in light of all the harmful outcomes that early and excessive porn use can have on sexual and mental health.
Yeah, for sure.
Dare to keep kids off porn.
We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Libraries, very own Jenna Polk and Zach Williams. We've just passed our one-year anniversary and are still going strong.
Yeah.
Check out our website linked in show notes to see how you can support our educational programming.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody.